Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dagdag.
Afternoon, perhaps it is morning. Usama Dagdag. It's my joy to spend the next 2 hours with you, and it is always my joy to have with me my co-host and my producer, Christy Johnson. Hello, Christy. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing very well, much better than last week. Hopefully people can hear us this week. We had lots of problems last week.
Though. What do you mean much better than last week? You're getting 1 week older.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm still alive. So that's I'm still here. God's still taking care of me. But I do have to apologize if you were trying to hear the show last week and were unable to. They made a few changes at Blog Talk Radio, and I did have some people send me messages, especially on Facebook, telling me they couldn't get in to hear the show. So hopefully we've taken care of that. Thanks for joining us and putting up with our little crazy problems we have sometimes. But I'm happy to be here tonight.
I'm glad you're giving the apology, Christy, because as you know, anything go wrong in the show, it is your fault. Everything go well, it is because of my hard work. You understand that, do you?
Yeah, I do, Usama. That's why I went ahead and apologized.
You know what? It is fun to have people back, and I see some of the faces in our chat room right now, which thank you for being with us tonight. And we missed you last week, and I'm glad that you join us here tonight. You know, Christy, there's so much is happening around the world, and I'd like to just talk a little bit about what's happening in my home country, Egypt. Believe it or not, Egypt is gone. Egypt is history. I just have some phone calls with relatives and friends in Egypt this afternoon, maybe around 5 o'clock, which is literally almost 12 o'clock there. And it is unbelievable. There's chaos all over the country, every city, from north to south. Mohamed Morsi is not even there to respond to these people. They all ask him to leave. They all ask him to go. But he is there. And you know why he is there, Christy?
I think it might have something to do with someone we all know very well.
And his name is Barack Hussein Obama. If Barack Hussein Obama does not want Mohamed Morsi to stay in his position for another hour, he can literally remove him as he removed the previous president, our only ally in the Muslim world, President Mubarak, Hosni Mubarak. But sadly, Obama wanted this guy, and Obama will do everything he can to support this guy because Obama wants the brotherhood in Egypt and Obama wants the jihadists in Syria, as we are been helped in Syria for quite some time now with all the weapons they need to take over the country of Syria, as we will also, I believe, the next country was going to be Jordan for sure. We're going to help the jihadists who's going to be moving from Syria to Jordan after they take over Syria. It is so obvious, Christy. It is so obvious. Obama is there in the White House to destroy the Middle East, to bring chaos to the Middle East. And I'm not kidding you. And I don't know if you heard me on Sean Hannity's show last week. I talked with him for like less than a minute and a half or 2 minutes. And I told Sean a simple question. And I'll repeat the game today, and I'll repeat the game next Saturday. I promise you, I'm going to repeat the same question next Saturday. Because it's a very simple question. And nobody in this country, with all the millions and millions in it, those who claim to be conservative, and those who claim to be men, I believe our men and our Republican, our conservative, are now girly men, as the governor of California said a few years ago, because they have no guts. They have no power to ask this illegal Muslim president, Barack Hussein Obama, a simple question. Why in the world he is doing what he's doing in the Middle East? Imagine with me, here's my question, anyway, which I asked Sean. Imagine with me if Barack Hussein Obama sends this F-16 and these tanks and these ships and all this weapon of war to Osama bin Laden. And instead of we send it to Mohammed Morsi, the Brotherhood of Egypt, we send it to Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda of Pakistan. What will be the reaction of the American people, even the liberal, who lost a child or a husband or a wife or a daughter in the towers of September 11? What will be the reaction of the American people if they know that Barack Hussein Obama on purpose sent weapon of war to Osama bin Laden? So instead of killing Osama bin Laden, he's going to support Osama bin Laden to have all the weapon he needs to go on war against our interests in the Middle East. That is exactly, Christy Johnson, what Barack Hussein Obama is doing right now. I mean, did you see what happened in Egypt? He's an Egyptian, for heaven's sake. I feel like I'm talking to myself here. The Egyptian is mad, the Muslim Egyptian is mad at Mohammed Morsi for bringing Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, to Egypt. They throw Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, with shoes. They throw shoes on him. But the American people and the American dumb conservatives have not got upset yet about having Iran and Egypt in a party. The meeting happened party in Cairo. Can you imagine
Usama, you know that I've been talking about my concerns about this as well as you have been talking about your concerns about this. But the problem is the administration is not talking about their concerns about this because somehow they seem to think they're going to make an ally out of Iran. And if we make an ally out of Iran, God help us, because this is exactly how we are going to see the destruction of this country come. By this foolishness of what? Now we are watching the Iranian president negotiate his relationship with Egypt, and this hasn't happened in 30 years. There never was an Iranian president come to Egypt. But, oh, yeah, this is great. Now all the Muslim world's coming together. And what, the idiots in Washington think this is a good thing?
If the Egyptian Muslims are upset about what Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is doing in Egypt, why not the American people should be upset with Mohammed Morsi? And you know what's amazing? Just a few months ago, some of the smartest people, Christy, we have in this country, and I have a high respect for Charles and so many of the people you see on Sean Hannity's show, on Fox News, and on Bill O'Reilly, and whatever.
Right.
And these people said, we must continue to support Egypt. And the question was asked, why? They said, because if we do not support Egypt, Egypt is going to reach out to other enemies like Iran and like Saudi Arabia, and these two countries will help Egypt, and then we'll lose Egypt. Guess what Egypt is doing now? They're taking the sucker out of our hand, and they're taking the chocolate out of Iran and Saudi Arabia. They're winning both ways. And as I said to you weeks ago, Christy, and we have, people can go on here. It's still available on this podcast. They can go back and listen to it. I said, Egypt will take everything they can take out of us, and at the same time, Egypt is sleeping with Iran and Saudi Arabia and any other terrorist organization in the world. That's what they're doing. They're sucker. They're sucking the blood out of us, and they will continue to do the same because we're not even put any ties over all this aid we sent to Egypt. And I said last week, I believe the same thing to Sean Hannity, or maybe another radio program. I can't remember who I talked last week. And I said, if we were supposed to send aid to Egypt, we should send medicine, we should send food, we should send things people of Egypt can use, not F-16. I did not know that anybody is going to have breakfast tomorrow in Egypt on F-16.
Yes. Well, Usama, the man you're pointing out is Charles Krauthammer, and I have a lot of respect for him, too. He's a very intelligent man and very well-spoken. But this is the ignorance of the American people when the most intelligent people in our country cannot understand what Islam is. And you have been trying to point this out, and you're exactly right. You said this, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? Yes, Egypt will gladly take our weapons, and Charles Krauthammer's comment was, well, yes, if we don't do it, then they'll take weapons and support from these other countries. Guess what? the Iranian president visiting Egypt is a really good sign of how smart our policy has been. Yeah, they're going to take weapons from everybody, and now we've given all these weapons to Mohamed Morsi, and he greets a man who says his goal is to destroy Israel, wipe it off the map, and hello, death to America, death to America. Do people not know that this is the chant and the slogan of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad? It has been since the day that he came to power.
And Mohamed Morsi, they both have the same goal. They both hate America because America is the great Satan, and they both hate Israel because Israel is a small Satan. It's small the devil. And
We have a caller on Skype already, and I don't want to make them wait too long. So I'm just letting them know if you're calling in on Skype, I'm going to get with you right away. Go ahead, Usama.
So the problem, ladies and gentlemen, is our politicians in this country, they're one of the two. They're, as Christy just said, they're so much ignorant of Islam and the propaganda of Muslim in the West, or they are so naive to believe that we can have a relationship with Egypt and maybe we can have a relationship with Iran. You know, the last thing we have out of Iran, there's no more talk with Iran. They said they're not interested to talk to us. So here, in one time, we're trying to reach out to the Iran as President Barack Hussein Obama, this illegal Muslim president, told us 4 years ago that he will reach out to Iran and he have an open negotiation. He will talk with them without any tie, without any rules. Just, hey, let's sit, let's have coffee, let's meet and let's talk. And guess what? Now Iran is just last week, they're not interested to talk to us. So if you even open the White House to Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, he does not have time to sleep in the room. Yes, Chrissy.
I was losing you for a second, so I just wanted to tell you.
I'm still here. So that's the problem we have with the White House, that I believe Obama know what he's doing, but the sad thing is the conservative, or I call them Republican. I don't know how many of these Republicans are conservative. I mean, can you count in one hand how many of the Republicans are conservative, Christy? Can you tell me how many?
How many Republicans are conservative?
Yes.
Well, I will tell you, not as many as I wish. I'm seeing so many of the Republicans now wanting to soften their positions on everything, and it's really, really troubling. So I really don't know. But what I can say is this. I know that the conservative, the true conservative, cannot possibly be supporting these things that Obama is doing, unless they are also foolish enough to think that if we just pack up all our gear and bring everybody home and we don't bother, this is where I think some conservatives are wrong. If we don't bother the Muslims and we get out of their countries, they're not going to bother us. So we're just going to retreat to our borders. I have heard some say that.
But Christy, I have no problem to bring our soldiers back home. But have a problem to give Al Qaeda and the Brotherhood all the weapons they need to launch attack against us.
I mean, well, this is true. But do you think?
I don't think you're realizing when I say what will be the reaction of the American people if Barack Hussein Obama sends this weapon to Iran? I mean, sending this F-16 to Egypt is the same thing sending to Iran.
I know, and they don't realize that.
It for free because that's part of our aid. Instead of we give them cash, we give them airplane, okay?
But
sending the same airplane to Saudi Arabia. And Charles and others will tell me, well, if we don't support Egypt, then Egypt will get the help from Saudi Arabia. For heaven's sake, we're helping right now Egypt and Saudi Arabia and Iran. We're helping every country in the Middle East to hurt Israel. To hurt us.
Usama, I agree with you. I think the problem is that they're not seeing this trend of the Muslim world who is trying to create a cooperative movement to eliminate everybody who does not want to see Sharia, who doesn't want to be governed by the laws of Islam. This is what's moving. It's, you know, unfortunately, the sad thing is many people in the Middle East and North Africa would like to be free, but the power that is taking these countries over is the power of the Muslim Brotherhood, and we, unfortunately, mostly don't realize we're not going to be able to be friends with the Muslim Brotherhood, even though members of the Muslim Brotherhood are in the White House daily.
Let me read you a verse of the Quran to see, can we be friends with any Muslim? Can we be friends with any believers? You know the verse by heart, Christy.
But
let's give it to our dear audience, for those who listen to us during the next few weeks. The Quran said, Allah's word said, Muslim in 57 Muslim countries and Muslim in America, and Muslim in Canada, and Muslim in South America, and Muslim in Europe, and Muslim in Australia, Muslim in planet Earth, believe in Quran chapter 5 and verse 51. Very simple verse. If our idiot politician can read this verse of the Quran and can believe that some people believe in this verse, we can get rid of the idea that to make friendship with some Muslim countries or some Muslim people, Allah in the Quran, speaking to the Muslims, the believers. 5:51, Allah said, O you who have believed, so Allah speaking to the believer, do not take the Jews and the Christians as friends. Do not take the Jews and the Christians as friends. They are friends to one another. And whoever among you takes them for a friend, so he is surely one of them. Surely Allah will not guide the unjust people. In Islam, the Quran teach it is sin for a Muslim to take a Christian or a Jew for a friend. Well, we're not a Christian country, Obama said. Yeah, well, we're what, an atheist country? That's even worse. You see, the Christian and the Jew may pay the jizya for a while until Muslims have all the upper hand, and then they'll start killing us and take our wives and our daughter to rape them and take over the home and our homes and our land and our money. But the atheists will be killed first. See, the atheists and the gay and lesbian do not have second chance. We will have second chance, which is they're going to make us slave for a while. And then they will kill our men and take our females. But the atheists will be killed for the first time. There's no like, hey, give them a chance to pay jizya. No, there is no jizya for atheists. So Allah's word is very clear, Christy. No friendship between any Muslim and anybody else who's not a Muslim.
No,
this
yes,
is the and the idiot congressman and woman and those who work in the White House. End of story.
Well, it's like many things that happen. Obama says certain things, and people do not understand that. I mean, I hope they're starting to get a clue that this man will say whatever is expedient at the time, and then he will go on and do whatever he wants to do. So, you know, he is helping to make things worse by our policies in the Middle East. But even if we left the Middle East, Usama, would the Muslims be at peace with us? Are we at war with Islam because there's American military in the Middle East?
Okay, let me give you another answer from Muhammad's own word. I'm not going to tell you what Islam is. Let's hear what Muhammad said. Muhammad said, do not, he's speaking to the Muslim believers, he's speaking to the Muslim of planet Earth. This is the prophet. That's whom they believe in. They believe in his words as they believe in Allah's word. Muhammad said, do not initiate peace with the Jews and the Christian. I mean, which part of this statement, simple statement, you, American, don't understand? Muslim will never initiate peace with us. And here, let me give you one more verse, Christy. Quran chapter 47 and verse 35. Quran 47 and verse 35. Allah said, do not be weak. Call him for peace when you have the upper hand. Do not be weak. Allah is speaking to the believers. Allah is speaking to the Muslims. Do not be weak. Call him for peace when you have the upper hand. The longer we wait, the more Muslim will be in power. The more Muslim will have the upper hand. The more Muslim will never seek peace with us, the more we will be in war. But in this war, we're not going to be the one who are fighting for the freedom of the world, but we're fighting for our lives. it'll be too late. The war will be here, inside the streets of America, inside the cities of America. No kidding. We will be fighting Muslim here in America. And you're going to see this in Europe very soon, in England, in France, in Germany, in Ireland, in Germany, in Ireland, in all this wonderful Muslim nation of Europe. And by the way, when you read a statement like America will be the largest Muslim country in the world, and I see somebody wrote and are talking about here in our chat room, this is Obama's word. And this will take place if the American people will not wake up. You guys think it will never happen to us. Oh, no, it will never happen to us. We will not have a largest Muslim country in America. Not in America. You have no clue. If you don't believe this could happen to America, that means you need to join our ministry for a couple of 3 weeks. No kidding. If any of you does not believe that America is in a coma or America is dead on a life support system, you call me and I will prove it to you in a very easy way. Just 3 days ago, Friday or Thursday. Friday, actually, 2 days ago, Friday. Yesterday or Thursday, I believe Thursday. My wife called a Baptist association, big Baptist association here in Florida. No kidding. Guys, I'm a Baptist. I am a Baptist. I'm calling my own denomination. Listen carefully. I'm not making up story. I'm telling you some truth about the stage of America, the stage of the church in America. So my wife called the Baptist association, would like to talk to the DOM, which is the director of mission, and the lady, obviously, she was not there, so Vicky left her a message in her answer machine. She was good enough to answer, to call us back. So I picked up the phone to answer. Vicky, she forgot her phone and answered the phone. And here what she said, how did you know about us? I said, ma'am, what do you mean, how do I know about you? How did you get our number? How did you call our office? I said, well, I am a Southern Baptist myself, and I, as we travel over the country, we call association offices and we talk to them, try to meet with the believers and different churches so we can tell people about our ministry. Here's what she said. We have a new DOM. We have a new director of mission. And he told me any of these phone calls, he was literally using her to get rid of people like me. We got 30 people like you who called us last month. And he made a decision. He will not talk to any of you people for the next 2 years because he's busy. For the next 2 years, he's busy. He will not talk to any of you people. And I said, excuse me, ma'am. With all respect, I'm not a salesman. I'm not somebody coming to sell you a tomato or some vegetables. Are you sick or you're stupid? I almost said it to her like that. I said, what are you doing? What do you mean your DOM doesn't have time to meet with me? So America, listen up, America, and I'm glad this broadcast can be able to hear it all over the country, and it's available for the next 2 months. The Southern Baptist Church in America are not interested. They hire people in all over the association are not interested to meet with the Straight Way of Grace Ministry for the next 2 years. And every church in America, you know, guys, forget about liberal and conservative. All it takes, one Democrat family in any church in America. One Democrat deacon in any church in America. One Democrat elder in any church in America. All it takes, one liberal family in any church. And this church will never have Usama Dakdok. I don't know if you're adding this number here. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. 4 + 4 = 8. It's very easy math. If the church in America are not interested to learn about Islam, that is a conservative church. That is my own denomination, for heaven's sake. How do you think we'll have the time or the place to learn about Islam in America? Catholic in America, with all respect, we've been doing this ministry, Christy, for 11 years. And I've been trying hard in every state I can go and find a Catholic church. And I've been trying hard for the last 11 years to find one Catholic church to welcome me to speak to the people about Islam. And so far, I have zero chance to speak in one Catholic church. But in the same time, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully here. Catholic churches in America have no problem whatsoever to bring Muhammad and Fatima and Khadija and Mustafa and Ali to tell them about the loving, peaceful religion of Islam. they will never have somebody like me or somebody like Christian Prince, but they will have any movement to speak in their holy places all over the churches all over this country. So Southern Baptists are not interested, and the Catholics are not interested, and so many liberal churches all over this country bringing Muslims to speak about Islam, and that is what is America about. We have a problem in America. We're so ignorant of Islam, and we're so arrogant. We don't think we need to know anything about Islam, or we're so coward. We're literally having shepherds in our churches who are just hired. They're not good shepherds. You see, if I am a good shepherd in the church, and I know there's a big cult in America, it's called the cult of Islam, and the Muslims are here in America for two things, to get rid of us and to take over this country. I will do everything I can to protect my sheep. I will take my sheep and we'll go in a spiritual warfare against all these Muslims to lead them to Christ or to get rid of them out of our country. See, you have not read the Quran. If you have read the Quran, you know that Allah in the Quran commands Muslims to kill the last Christian, the last Jew male, so they can rape their wives and their daughters, so they can take their homes and their land and their money. That is the teaching of Allah in the Quran. And if you don't know that, please give us a call. I would love to share with you these verses in the Quran. The phone number is very simple. 347-857-1380. 347-857-1380. If you have a question about what I'm talking about here, if you don't believe what I'm telling you is true, please give me a call. Ask me a question. I would love to hear your question tonight so we can dig into the Quran and dig into the Hadith to understand Islam. That's the reality. Muslims here in America take over America, and Americans do not know anything about Islam, and Americans don't care about knowing anything about Islam, and the church is no longer asleep or in a coma. The church in America is literally in a deathbed, life support. They're dead, and they're hooked to this machine, keep pumping air in their lungs. Anytime a Muslim go by this machine and pull the plugs out, you're dead, you're history. And the longer we continue to be like that, the trouble we're going to be in. The political correctness is no longer in the political arena among our senators and our congressmen and our governors all over this country. The political correctness today is in the church. The whole country is going down to the tube. For the Bible said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We have no clue what is Islam. We have no idea. Who are the Muslims? We have no clue what Allah said in the Quran or what Muhammad taught in the Hadith. And instead of we're evolving in this country. I mean, there's a huge change which is taking place right now in the world. It is all because of Barack Hussein Obama, this illegal Muslim president. I did not see one senator in this country. I can call him a man. I'm sorry. There is not one man American is a senator or a congressman. Or a Congress lady. They're all cowards. Not one person can stand up for Obama and say, who are you? Where do you come from? What are you doing to our country? You are a terrorist. We used to kill terrorists under George W. Bush. Now you're supporting terrorists. You're giving them the weapons they need to fight us. This is treasoning, Christy, isn't it right? Can you imagine if any of your early presidents send weapons to the enemy? To attack us. What do you call this? Treasoning. This president, anyone, I don't care if it's this Muslim Obama or George W. Bush or anyone, any president of America who support the terrorists or support our enemy by giving them the weapons they need to be militarily strong to fight our allies in the Middle East like Israel, this president should be in prison. No. Obama killed Bin Laden, and that proved to the American people he's a real good president, and then he can do whatever he wants. He allowed Iran to have the nuclear. And you know what, Christy? I was new in this country 20 years ago, and I saw what Bill Clinton was doing with North Korea. 8 years, Bill Clinton did not do anything to stop North Korea from having the nuclear. And they got the nuclear. And it's the same circle again among this coward liberal Democrat who hate America, who love the world, who love the Muslim, who hate Jesus, who hate Christianity, like Clinton, like Obama. It's 4 years Obama did not do anything to stop Iran from having the nuclear. And I promise you, the next 8 or 16 years, Obama will be in the White House, and he will do nothing. He will do nothing to stop Iran from having the nuclear. And they will have it within the next 6 months, if not the next year, the most.
Well, I know you're speaking your heart, and I know what you're saying is true. The sad thing is, if we could just look at our own American history. So I'm talking to those who've been in America and have been raised in America, and maybe your parents or your grandparents fought in World War II. The sad thing is, this is only, for me, it was my mother and my father who lived during World War II. And I know the things that they told me about the foolishness of the way that that the Nazi threat was ignored and that Hitler was ignored and appeased for years and years. You would think that the previous generation and the hell that they went through because Europe was nearly taken over by a madman, Hitler, that we would not have already forgotten this lesson. It's like somehow America has gone into thinking, and it has invaded the church really bad, that we in America are immune from the rise of evil men around the world. We should never have lost sight of just a generation ago. We had Hitler, we had Stalin, we had the Japan that all came together to try and destroy America and Europe. Why are we so foolish that we don't see this same threat? And just like in Germany, the church went to sleep. The church went to sleep in Germany. And so, of course, we have to speak out now because we see the threat rising and we see our government and our churches ignoring this threat. And if you think that you're a Christian, so you're immune from this, we know Christians, Usama and I do, who were in Germany when Hitler took over. And believe me, this was not a good thing. The Christians weren't spared from the misery that Hitler brought to Germany.
Yeah, we have an important message here from Debate TV. He wants
yes,
to come
I
off.
Yes, I saw that. And I've got him, I think, is on the Skype that I was telling you we need to take.
Bring him in. Come on in.
I've got him on.
Sorry for being late. Okay.
Hello, Osama. You hear me?
Hey, you're welcome.
How are you, brother?
How are you doing? Hi, Christy. Good
hey.
Evening, everyone.
Great to have you here.
Thank you. And I'm waiting for long, you know, like I'm afraid to lose my internet before I can make it. But
I did not
anyway.
Know that. CB, God is my witness. If I know, I'll be shut up for a long time ago. Love you, brother. How are you doing?
No worry. I'm fine. Thank you very much. I hope everybody is enjoying your show and your effort. And, you know, again, each time I listen to Osama, I see that as if he started yesterday and he never gave up. He had a very passionate, you know, for Christ. And
thank you, brother.
I like that spirit on him, you know.
This is the deal. Since I got here and we have people listening, you need to take over because I need to take a break. You have a long vacation. It's time for you to come back so I can take a vacation too.
It's not a vacation, trust me. I wish it's a vacation.
I want you
anyway.
Back on the podcast. This is your job. I'm supposed to be helping you, and you left me for a long time. Love you, brother. So
thank you.
Get yourself together. So you need to take over, please.
Yeah, well, it's all in the hand of the Lord. We will see what will happen. Anyway, I want to just share with you guys about what the topic we're talking about.
Sure.
You know, it's true that Obama is really presenting an evil stage of the world these days, but we should not ignore that the Western leaders today, they are presenting the evil. Like, you know, it's very sad to say such a thing about Western leaders, because if we look around us, we will see that Obama is not alone in this disaster. You know, and when we speak about liberals and conservatives, we will find that conservatives who claim to be conservative, they are more their hand even more dirty than some of those who call themselves liberals. As an example, the ex-president of France, he is the one who lead the attack to take al-Qaddafi out. Now, he know, and everybody knows, that taking al-Qaddafi out, we don't like al-Qaddafi, he's a criminal, but we know what will happen. We know exactly who's going to take over. And they are the same people who supported the leave of Mubarak.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so like, you know, there is no way in the world, like somebody will tell me that the intelligence of France and the intelligence of Italy and the intelligence of the UK, they do not know really who is going to take over if they take if they destroy those leaders. So and right now, actually, all of them, they are supporting the Islamists in Syria, which are killing a lot of Christians and destroying churches, etc. But nobody cares. You're like, where is the Prime Minister of Italy? Where is the President of France who speak about human rights when they see a beheading for someone just because he is wearing a cross? You know, they torture and they killed thousands of people. All what we hear in the news that the Syrian regime is killing civilians, when the fact that the truth is totally the opposite. It's upside down. You know, you can go and ask any Christian in those territory which one you prefer, which one you fear to have in your territory, the army of Assad or the Islamists. He will say to you, please bring the army of Assad. They're not the one who is going to kill us. So
absolutely,
the truth is upside down. They make the black white and the white black, and they are saying this in the media. I did not find one media TV station saying the truth about what's happening, you know. Not like we say Fox News. Fox News is a stupid TV, the same as all those TVs. Their hands in the blood, because I consider even media, they are partners of killing, same as killers. Because when you switch the truth upside down, you are a partner of the killing. When you make the victim a killer and the killer is a victim, you are really a criminal.
Sure.
So all of them, you know, they are doing exactly the same thing. It's a mafia. We have a mafia. Obama is just one of many evil leaders in this world. And all the Western leaders these days are extremely evil. You know, like we are, let us say, we are in dark ages in the West. As you said, why we want to support Egypt? Like, you know, give me a reason to send weapons to Egypt. Well, give me one reason, you know, just a little reason. You know, who is the enemy around Egypt, to Egypt, to protect Egypt? We are protecting Egypt to who? When we send a weapon to somebody, we need to ask ourselves a very simple question. Weapon is to defend, okay, defend against who? Who is the enemy of Egypt? There's no enemy except Israel. So it's very clear that we are supporting Egypt against Israel. It's not really...
Egypt is the enemy of Israel, CB. You have to clear this very well. Israel will not go in war with Egypt, but Egypt will go against Israel. So, you know...
It's, you know, let us say Israel will go, no problem. But it's very obvious, you know, if you ask an American which one of them is our friend, he will say Israel. So why we are supporting the one who have no enemy in that area except Israel? The answer is very clear. The answer is very, very easy to answer. Like, you know, we are not sending bread, we are not sending milk, we are sending weapons. So the question why we are sending weapons to someone, he want to kill the Jews, he want to kill the Christians. This guy, he said in TV loudly, clearly, the Jews are pigs and monkeys and we should kill them all. We should teach our kids how to hate them. This is what he said. So when they do that, we need to ask ourselves how stupid we are to accept this guy to be a president. So we have a problem in the state. We have a problem in the West. The Western in general, I know some people, they might get upset for what I'm saying, but this is the truth. The sad is how we are electing our representatives in everywhere, in the Congress, in the Senate, everywhere. You know, like we say conservative. Like what about McCain? McCain is a conservative. McCain is the most stupid guy ever I heard about. He want to support the Syrian Islamists from the first day. He want to send them even heavy duty weapon, not only just guns and grenades. He want to send them whatever they want. Even he asked the government to launch airstrike to support them. And this guy supposedly is a conservative. You know, I am a Republican. I consider myself conservative, but when I look at those who they present in my party, they make me sick, because they are sick more than Obama. Obama simply, he's a smart person. He is using those monkeys. That's how I call them. They are monkeys. They are toys in his hand, and he do whatever he wants. Until now, they could not even make him do one thing in the right direction. Anything he wants is going to happen. Anything he chooses is going to happen. Any paper he signs is going to be approved. Even though they say to you the Congress, the majority are Republican. Then we ask ourselves how the majority is Republican. At the end of the day, whatever Obama he wants, it's happening. You know, like what? He is Republican and we support him. It's very obvious that we don't have Republican and the Republican. It's one party. It's a mafia. And all of them, they are partners. All what they care about, they're doing business, exchanging money, exchanging benefits. And what's happening, you know, what are you talking about, Islam and Christianity and Islamization? All those things is the last thing for them to worry about. They will never even think about it. You know, you see, we are in the other side. For them, we are people from the moon. They don't know even what we are talking about because their thinking is in different avenue. It's about how to make money, how to get rich, how to come back. Look at this Hillary Clinton. You know, Hillary Clinton, she is a big criminal, you know, if you think about it. When the Libyan attacked the embassy in Libya, in Benghazi, what she was doing? Nothing. Nothing, absolutely nothing. You know, they get killed, and imagine, after all this mascara, they arrested one person, and this person was released last week. All right? One person, all this mascara, more than 500 fighters attack. Only one person arrested, and later they found that he is guilty. And the USA did nothing. You know, imagine how stupid and how filthy they are to the point they did not even question the Libyan government how all of this happened. And at the end of the day, you say to us, not even one is guilty. So they are partners of killing Americans, not only partners of killing Christian in the Middle East and killing Jewish in the Middle East. Those people, they hate America. They are businessmen. They don't care about Obama. He do things for his own agenda because he's a Muslim. But the others, they are criminals, but in a different way. All what they care about, how to make money.
CP, you forget, there's one person that went to jail for the Benghazi attack, and that is the man who made the Muhammad movie. He's in jail.
You know, this is what we have, and Americans, they should have better education. They should ask themselves questions. I see in the, like, if you type the name of Osama Daktok or my name in the internet, you will come with the Islamophobia, you know? Like, what phobia? What are you talking about? You know, those people, they are the one who have the phobia. You know, if you eat in the street in Ramadan, you are insulting Islam. This is phobia. If, you know, the Muslims, they wake you up in the early morning praising Allah, and you cannot complain. But if you ring the bell of the church, they burn your church. Who is the one having the phobia? You know, if we celebrate a Christian, you know, right now there's more than 80 Christians in Saudi Arabia arrested in the Christmas day. Why? Because they were celebrating Christmas inside their houses. You know, where is the leaders of freedom? Where is Obama who speak about the human rights? Arresting people for doing what? For celebrating Christmas in their houses? Inside the house, they are not even outside. And then they give you speeches about the Assad regime don't support the freedom. What the freedom you are talking about? They are hypocrites. They are liars. The king of Bahrain is killing his people for more than 2 years. Not even one Western leader opened his mouth. Not even one. Why? Because he is their friend. The same as the Prince of Qatar. One guy, he made a poetry against him. The judge judged him jail for life. This is the punishment for saying a poetry. He did not kill anyone. He just made a poetry, you know. So this is the hypocrisy of those leaders. And I say it clearly. It's a shame that we have such, we call leaders, in all of Europe. All of America, it doesn't matter. Canada or USA, France, England, Australia, all is one coin, have different images. They might be white, they might be black, they might look Asian, but at the end, all of them, they are groups of one mafia. All of them, they sell human being blood for anyone who want to pay. And now the Muslims, they have the money. The Prince of Qatar, he's buying them all. You know, all what France is doing right now is exactly what the Prince of Qatar, he wants. This guy, he can launch a war right now using the U.S., the French army by his command, because he is the one who bought all those theaters. He bought the president before, he bought the president after, and if you go right now and search in Google about the investment, the money investment of the Prince of Qatar in France, you will not believe it. This guy, he owned the country. France is owned by him. Go and search about the investment of Muslims in the UK. All sports, even sports stadiums, sports clubs, all of them owned by Muslims. All the big mall, the highest building in the world is going to be built in England, in London, owned by the Prince of Qatar. This is in England. So what we are talking about in here is not about politics. We are talking about money. Those people don't care about religion. For the Muslims, their target is religion. For the Western leaders, their target is money. And you know who is going to win. When somebody is working for religion, he has an agenda. He knows exactly what he's doing. And the other one, he works for money. It means he's working for his own. He don't work for the country. He works for his own individual greed and love for money.
That's very well put. That's very well put, CP. And I don't think that people realize that the Western world is being manipulated by the love of money to become partners with this evil Islam.
So many of the things.
I think it's very clear that people they know. I don't know how much education each one of us have, but if you think about it, things is very simple. One plus one is two. Very, very simple. Mm-hmm. Why someone, he leave his countries, he live in the Middle East, he live in Islamic countries, and he want to build a mosque in France will cost $100 million. Very simple question, I do not need really. There is more than 20,000 Muslims dying every month in Somalia alone. Muslim child. Why they want to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to build mosque in every corner in New York, but they don't want to spend a penny to feed those little children they are dying, and they are Muslims. Simply because Islam is a religion who seek power. If we can conquer USA, we conquer the world. If we can conquer the UK, we conquer Europe. It's very simple. It's not really, it's an investment to conquer, not because they are for doing good, This is how Islam spread always. They get in, they penetrate the system, and they conquer. They lead. They Muhammad himself, one of his five names is the eraser. When they ask him, eraser of what, he said Christianity and Judaism. So this is their agenda, and this is what they want. At the same time, we don't have someone to resist in the other side. Because if you go to Europe, I watch TV, those silly show about some women in the TV, they are trying to lose weight. And tears is coming, and very emotional, and like disaster. Some people, they are trying to lose weight. There's people, they are dying from hunger,
Yeah.
They are worried about someone, she is overweight, and they are making a show costing God knows how many million dollars because Jessica, she could not lose more than 1 pound this week. Will stop eating? It's very simple. There's people, they are dying from hunger. Nobody care for them. So look how they... make fun of the human being brain. Why we don't talk about those who they are dying from hunger, who have nothing, no skin yet, no left, they are bones. I saw pictures, really, really scary of children. Those are the ones we should make a show about them, not those who they are overweight and they are wealthy and they spend their morning eating 10 hamburgers. This is how they fool our TV, our children. Look at the TV show we watch. All of it, it's the same quality. It's trash. There's nothing in the TV to watch. It's just, stupid talk, dirty words, no self-respect, speaking about being a gay as how wonderful it is, how great to feel to be a gay, how wonderful to see two girls kissing each other. Everything is upside down. At the same time, the Muslims are working hard to control those countries. And now, if you go, I'm reading the news about how many fighters, Osama, going from Europe and USA to fight in Syria. Now, ask yourself, how come those Muslims who live in America, they did not become like the American? They are not interested in Oprah show. Why they are interested in going and giving their life to fight and die for the sake of their God? Because simply, in America, Muslims are more even strict than Muslims in the Middle East. They are more scary. And they try to convert as many as they can so they can fight you by your own kids.
You're right on the money, CB. You know, here's the fact, CB. We are living in the last days when the Bible is very clear. The good will be called evil and the evil will be called good. And I'm looking everywhere around, everywhere around. It is unbelievable how the world accepting and love everything is not right. And what is right is rejected. I mean, not just in the political arena. I'm talking about in life. Why people are doing everything in the opposite of what it is? Because we're literally living in the last days. Hey, CB, before I forget, what is the good news about your new book? How far you are from writing or editing your volume 2, The Deception of Allah?
Almost there. Soon I will send you the thing to print. Soon, very soon, I hope so.
Good.
I want to just add one thing, Osama, before I forgot. You know, like
sure.
What happened, sometimes, you know, God is amazing. Like what happened, it might look it's bad, you know, but sometimes like good, I mean, appear because of the bad, which means we don't see really the real fruit until we have some patience and we wait. You know,
yeah.
If we look at the Christianity in the beginning, the Christians were being tortured, killed everywhere. And if you think about it, you would say, there's no way this faith will survive. Everybody's getting killed. You know, what is a Christian? No Christian left. But still the few were able to do what can be called amazing. If we look what happened in the last year regarding the Islamists and trying to Islamization of the Middle East, we will see, and if you remember before, I said that before, that this is actually is not smart of those Muslims. Because, you see, Muslims, they have the magic of fooling people about we are better than you as long as they are not in charge. Now, the Muslims themselves, they saw that Muslims in charge are the worst. Islam in charge is the most ugly. Go and see what's happening now in Tunisia. Go and see what's happening now in Egypt. Go and see what's happening now in Syria. Go and see what's happening now in Iraq. Every country is, those are Muslims. They are fighting Islam now. It's not the Christians fighting Islam. It is the Muslims themselves. You know, yesterday I was watching the strike in Tunisia. Almost 2 million Muslims, they strike in the street against the Islamization of Tunisia. That's amazing. You know, it's not Christians striking. It's not the leaders of the West. Those are the Muslims. They are refusing this religion. Same as in Egypt. Like now, who is the one rejecting the Muslim Brotherhood? The Christians here are minority. They cannot do anything. It is the Muslims. Now, we need to ask ourselves, why? Because simply, the Islam is an evil religion, can fool people as long as they are not in charge. I can tell you, right now, you know, if I became president, I will make everybody wealthy, and make everybody have a good job, etc. As long as I'm not in president, you know, I can make all the promises I want. And I give you nice words about freedom, about etc. But when I am in charge, then the story is different. And actually, I believe the best thing happened that those people became in charge. The Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamists became in charge because now all Muslims know exactly how filthy they are and all days of lying where people they can be fooled and believe it, it's over. Because now, here we go, you are a president. Here we go, you control the government. Here we go, you are more filthy than the one before you. So I think I see this as a very positive thing because now we will have Muslims rejecting Islam more than Muslims before because they saw for real that what those Islamists stand for is just the words, the fact, it's totally the opposite.
I agree.
I don't know if you saw the speech of the president of Egypt. You know,
yeah.
I saw a program in the Egyptian TV. It was very funny. They are making fun of him. He is really, really, really stupid, you know. They ask him, you made a speech before saying that Jews are pigs and monkeys. He said, well, this is a speech take out of context.
Out of context.
Like what? Like what? Give me the context, you know. So the German host who is making comment about this this answer, he said, oh, you mean they are donkeys? Like what? Like what? What else could contact, you know, like, So you know, everybody now noticing how restricted they are, and we are lucky actually that
you know
we have Morsi as a president.
You know,
because he's stupid, you know what I mean?
Yeah. When you talk about taking this out of context, that's the only answer the Muslim give you about anything in Islam. If I open the Quran right now and I read any verse, I mean, I will literally open the book without looking, and I put my finger on a page and read a verse. You know what Muslim was saying? Oh, you're taking this verse out of context, or you're not reading it from a good translation. Like I cannot read it in the original text in the Arabic. It's like, this is a good way for Muslims to get out of a problem. And by the way, one more thing important happening in Egypt, Christian parents, and I don't know how many of the people here know what I'm talking about. The revival in Egypt is beyond understanding. The church in Egypt are doing a great, great job. They are worshiping, praying 24 hours. There are hundreds, but thousands of Muslims leaving Islam and becoming Christian in Egypt. Can you imagine? You go into this big meeting where thousands gather together to pray, and then hundreds of Muslims go to the meeting and they leave the building born again Christian. I mean, it is unbelievable. I was just talking to friends and family relative today, and they said, "You saw my Egypt is going through the roughest time. It is very difficult, very hard. But we praise God because in the midst of this crisis, the church is in revival and Muslims coming to Christ. And hey." I think that's the only way the church to have revival is the church to go through some rough time. And what a rough time in Egypt. Praise God for it.
Always, actually, Osama, Christians under discrimination are better Christians. The same as steel. You know, like the best steel is the one who didn't suffer more with fire. So it's not really bad. It might look bad for some time. It might look frustrating, but at the end, I see it really bad. And as I said, here we go. The Muslims, they work hard to take over, and now they took over, and look what happened. The Muslims became number one enemy to Islam. This is actually, I believe, this is a blessing from the Lord, because now it's an eye opening for them to see that what Islam stands for. It's not what reality about Islam is. What they hear in TV stations, now the Muslims, they are making songs, video clips, etc., about the beautiful of Islam, how the Prophet taught people to be live and love people, how to be peaceful, which is false. You know, you can play those songs as much as you want, but reality is totally the opposite. The Lord, He said, from their fruit you shall know them. You know, it's very. I don't want to say it's a golden rule. I think it's a priceless rule. You know, once a person he told me, what is in the Bible like is different from other religion. I said, well, you know, bring me someone he spoke as this, and I will tell you why I am a follower of this book. From their fruit you will know them. So. Belief and faith is not about words, is not about how beautiful those words, is not about how amazing they are, it's about fruit. And the Lord, He gave us, you know, He gave us the answer always, how to find out where to go, who is the false, who is the real, from their fruit you shall know them.
Amen.
Don't look to the look. Don't look, you know, you are white, you are black, you are African, you are etc., you know, who cares? At the end of the day, from their fruit, you will know them. And this is what should all the Western do, and everyone in the world, especially the Christians, do. When they make decisions, you know, when you take a friend, know them from their fruit. When you want to have a partner to get married, know them from their fruit. You want to have a business, you want to have a relationship, a business relationship, before you do that, look at their fruit. It's a priceless rule, very simple, but present everything God you want from us. He wants the fruit. He don't want words. So I encourage the Christians to be people of fruit, not people of words. And there is a huge difference between both. There's someone who say and he do what he say, and he stands for it, like, you know, what Osama is doing. He never give up. He's fighting. He's spreading the truth. And there's people who just listen and they do nothing. Maybe even they did not tell their own family member about the risk humanity is facing. So So you want to be Christian? If you claim to be Christian, all of us, we do sin. All of us, we are sinners, and nobody is better than anyone when it comes to sin. But we have to say that from their fruits, you will know us. You know?
Yes.
And we are like ambassador for the Lord by the fruit, not by the word.
Amen.
And with this, guys, I have to apologize. I got to go. So thank you very much, Osama, for having me, and Christy.
I want you to feel this a little bit more. You're just give me a few more minutes, man. Why are you rushing?
I have to go. I have work to do.
Get him off work. Take an hour off, man.
I wish. You know, they are waiting for me. I have the keys with me, so I have to go and open for them.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us tonight, brother. God bless you. I cannot wait to read your new book, The Deception of Allah. And guys, if you have not got CD, first book, volume 1, The Deception of Allah, you need to get it. It's very simple.
Yes.
You can go to Amazon and you can order it. It is a book worth reading, especially I know the second one, volume 2, is coming up soon here. So you don't want to, be behind it. So get yourself a copy of The Deception of Allah. You get to know CB's heart and his writing, his exposing to this cult of Islam, to Allah, the God of Islam, which me and him, we believe both 100%. Allah is Satan. And then you get ready for volume 2. So you get a book, read it, share it with somebody else, and then we will be very happy when the volume 2 is ready. We'll let you know about it when it is ready by God's will. CB, thank you so much for being with us. Don't forget us, CB.
I want to say something to CP before he goes. CP, I just want you to know that we ask people to keep you in prayer, and I know God's answered our prayers. You sound great, and it's wonderful to have you with us tonight. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Christy. God bless all, and I will try maybe next week if I can to call again. I wish I can make it again. Thank you very much, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Well, good to see you, brother. God bless you. Appreciate you.
Bye-bye. God bless.
Bye-bye, CB. We have also Brother James. I don't know what he have on mind. I want to go ahead and start on our study for tonight. Christy lies in our textbooks by the wonderful Muslim and the wonderful liberal. But before we get to that, let's spend a few more minutes here with Brother James. So if you don't mind, get Brother James in, and we're always happy to have Brother James with us.
Yes, Brother James. I believe you're on the line with us now. You have a question or comment for the show. I know you usually do. You're on the line now, Brother James. I believe that's you on there, right? Well, he might be just listening and doesn't know he's on the air. We got you on the air. If your last four numbers are 7503, I believe that's Brother James. You with us? We got you on the air now, brother.
That's okay. Maybe he is busy.
He might be just listening.
Okay.
We'll try you again in a minute.
All right. No problem. Anyway, Christy, can you go ahead and please move on to the next slide in our textbooks? Because I believe we need to move on to the study. This study will take forever. And I really want to get it done with the next few months here. So what do we have there, Christy, the next slide?
Okay, well, the first thing I want to do, Usam, is just tell people what we're doing in case they're joining us for the first time. We are discussing Citizens for National Security, their initial report. This is a task force on Islamic influence in Florida schools, K through 12, their public schools. And this was their initial report. It was also filled with suggestions and recommendations to teachers about the lies that are in the textbook as they relate to Islam. And we have been going through this lie by lie and page by page. So we are now currently, Usama, coming back to page number 11. And on page number 11, we are discussing the book called People, Places, and Change. As we've reported to you before, these books are probably in use all over the country because this is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. And most everybody has heard of them. Holt Reinhardt and Winston. These are books that are all over the country. This book, this edition, published in 2005, as we've said, we're giving you the page numbers for the 2005 or whichever edition it is we're talking about. On page 384 of the 2005 edition of People, Places, and Change, and we're talking about the comments there that are in the textbooks your kids and my kids are probably reading, and if not your children, your grandchildren, reading these books in school. So, you ready for this one, Usama?
Absolutely. Go for it, sister.
All right. During the era of Roman control, a Jewish man named Jesus taught that faith and love were more important than Judaism's many laws. That's the quote on page 384. You want to hear the... You got a comment, Usama?
I got so much comment. I don't know who even to start with this. You know what's amazing, Christy? As I looked at, I'm almost finished with recording this radio programs for VCY. We already recorded almost 40 programs on lives in our textbook. So I maybe have another 20 or so. But I read through the whole lives and I read through a whole books, and I kind of investigated it before even I started recording and go and then take it. Right now I'm taking it step by step. What I notice about these lies in the textbooks is it's two sets. When we talk about Christianity, we belittle it, and we always introduce it, as you're going to see in many programs coming up, according to Jesus, according to Christian, according to the Bible. When we talk about Judaism, we also belittle it. According to the Jewish, according to the Old Testament, according, not nothing real. But when we talk about Islam, they use the word God in the textbooks. God said, Islam for sure, Islam for certain, Muhammad for sure said, Allah for sure said, you know, it's like, or God, the God of Islam for sure said. You know, it is amazing how the two tones of language. Now, another thing is very, very fact, Christy, is when you talk about Christianity and Judaism, they always belittle it. They always put it down. They are not doing this about Christianity yet. I promise you. Like this passage here, they are somehow speaking for Jesus and belittling Judaism, belittling the law, belittling the Torah. So, see, Jesus thought that faith and love were more important than Judaism's many laws. Now, I dare any liberal or any Muslim to show me where in the Bible do read Jesus say that. This is the second fact I was going to share with you. Whenever they talk about Islam, they talk positive without any verses, without any support, as if they know this for sure, for certain. But when they talk about Christianity or Judaism, they belittle it and lie without any verses. I mean, I wish you show me here where in Jesus' thought I see that he said that love is more important than the law. You know what the Bible said about Jesus said about the law? Not even one little Luther, one little Yoda will be taken out. He said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it.
Yeah.
What is to fulfill it? What is the law? The writings of Moses, the writing of the psalmist, the writing of the prophets. What is the law? Jesus is about to come. And when the Messiah will come, he will be a suffering Messiah, as Isaiah writes to us. He will be crucified, as David writes to us. His body will not decay, for he will raise from the dead, as David wrote to us. And if you go to all the writings of the law and the writing of the prophecies of the Old Testament, all of it has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus never, never, never taught that love or faith and love are more important than Judaism law. Because if you tell me faith or love is more important than the law, then you're telling me that just is not important as love. You see, the faith and love we have in Christianity is the love of God, which is the true grace. And that's how we Christians are saved, by grace. But grace and the law is just. Guys, the law is 100% just. When I say to you, the speed limit on this road is 65 miles an hour, that is the law. Is this just? Yes. If you go 65 miles an hour, will anybody, will any cop give you a ticket? No. Why? Because that's just. If you go 80 or 90, what are you going to be, what's going to happen to you? You're going to get a ticket. And maybe if you're going so fast, the cops will stop you and take you to jail if you're drunk or some under some influence of drugs. So the law is justice. Now, the face of the law is God's grace in the New Testament. God is both. God is like a coin. In one side, there is justice 100%. And the other side is love and grace 100%. You cannot separate the law from, which is just, from the love and the grace of God. They're one coin. So when some idiot or some Muslim, I don't know who put this in the textbooks, for sure he's not a Christian. I bet my life on it that whoever wrote this, he's a Muslim who hates the Jew, or he's a liberal who don't care about Jew and Christian anyway. And they both love Islam. So, is this true that the Bible said? I mean, where in the Bible I can see Jesus teaching that? Do we have a book, a chapter, a verse? No, they're not there. Why? Because it's a lie. This is a lie from the bottom of hell. Try to make Judaism law as not important. We no longer live by the law. We live by grace. But without the law, we will never know the grace. And the law condemned us all to be guilty because no one could fulfill the law. But thank God, because Jesus is the one who lived, practiced perfectly for every law. Jesus did not sin. And if Jesus says or Jesus taught that love and faith are more important than Judaism, many laws, that makes Jesus sinner. Because Jesus is rejecting the law. Jesus is the giver of the law. How can Jesus, who tell Moses, write it down, who tell Jeremiah, write it down, who tell every one of the writings of the 39 books of the Old Testament, write it down. He is the one who gives these words, the law. How can Jesus reject himself?
Exactly. You know, you saw me, it also takes away from Jesus who, what? Because of the law, Jesus had to be killed. He had to suffer. He had to die. He had to be crucified. So if he didn't think the law was important, why did he die? To set us free from the law so that we might find God's grace. And that's the other thing that I see in the heart of this. It takes away from Jesus as the Savior. Oh, he's just a nice guy that says love everybody. Well, really? His love cost him his blood. Am I right?
Yes, indeed, absolutely. Let me take you now to how the same passage, Christy, is insulting the Jewish law, but is the same passage also insulting Jesus Christ himself?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This piece of trash who writing this baloney and this hogwash in our textbooks for our children, when they put the word Jesus, they need to put before it Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus, the capital L, Lord Jesus, capital J. But they're not. See, that's why I believe this is written by some Muslim or some liberal atheist who hate Jesus Christ and who hate Christianity because he's using one rock to hit two things, Christianity and Judaism. Notice something. During the era of Roman control, a Jewish man, excuse me? What in the world are you drinking? What in the world are you smoking? A Jewish man? Where I can find in our textbooks an Arab man by the name Muhammad? Can you show me anywhere in all these trash books and all this light in our trash books, which is taught to our children from kindergarten to the 12th grade, where I can see an Arab man named Muhammad? They don't say that about Muhammad. Why? How dare they say this about my Lord and my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ? This trash needs to be removed from our textbooks, but until the American people know it, until the church in America know it, because, see, here it is. Let me go back to what I said earlier in our program, Christy. This Solemn Baptist and this association are not interested to meet with me the next 2 years. I wonder what will be written in our textbooks in the next 2 years about Jesus and about Muhammad, and these ignorant Southern Baptists know nothing about. And I'm saying ignorant because guess what? I am a Southern Baptist. I can speak boldly and truthfully about Southern Baptists. Because with all respect, we got some coward, and I say it again, coward leader, hired shepherd all over our churches and our Southern Baptist denomination today. That if you have a liberal party, a liberal family in your church, you will never teach the truth about Obama or Islam. And soon we're going to have Muslims speaking in Southern Baptist churches. No kidding. Because that's the next step. To reach out to the Muslims, to the bridge. We already have some Christian who are not Christian. They're just doing business of speaking about Islam. I met these people and I talked with these people. I saw their DVDs and I threw their DVD into the trash can. I should keep this DVD, Chris. I did not. I made a mistake. I maybe need to get another set of this DVD. Bridges. What is the bridges? Chrislam. What is Chrislam? Oh, Christian, Muslim, get together. We worship in so much. There's so much common between us. We should just ignore these differences, a few differences, and let's build a bridge. And when we build a bridge between Christian and Islam, that's when people leave the church and go to the mosque. But not people from the mosque join the church. It's one-way bridge from light to darkness. And these are maybe the organization which now can go to most of our churches. But some guy like me, I'm a radical. I teach hate, as Muslims say. Usama teach hate. Why?
Usama, I mean, it's. I mean, as long as we're talking about this, it's worse than that. We've even had people say that the reason we're having problems with Muslims, with Islam, is because of people like you. That you're the cause of the problem. And yet they refuse to read the Quran to see what is in it. That the source of the problem is not speaking the truth about it. The source of the problem is ignorance. I mean, it's unbelievable what we've seen and what we've heard from people who are claiming to be Christians. You know, it's sad.
So
we do have a caller. I got to let you know, too, so in case you...
Sure, we'll get it in a minute. Let me finish this point here before we leave this slide here. There's two very important facts here. Number one, disrespect to my God, to my Lord, to my Savior, Jesus Christ. He is not a Jewish man named Jesus. He is the Lord and the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's how they should put Jesus. And this is another, the second big shot here, which is really making me so mad, is they lie about the behalf of Jesus without the verse of the Bible. Jesus did not come to cancel the law. Jesus did not come to destroy the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. And without the law, I will not know that I'm a sinner. Without the law, I will not know the Lord and the Savior of my life, Jesus Christ. Without the law, I will not know the grace of God. So this is a big propaganda, big lie from the bottom of hell. Somebody should get mad. Some church should write a letter to the publisher and ask him immediately to remove this trash out of these textbooks. And I know there's maybe some statement written here by Citizens for National Security. If you don't mind, Christy, would you read the next few sentences here before we give the next call, please?
Yes, the document that we're referring to, which is highlighting these errors in the textbook, says this. The quote reduces Jesus Christ's message to opposition to Jewish law. The quote also reduces Jesus to the role of a teacher, when in fact Christians believe that Jesus is divine and come as the Savior of all mankind. The Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Micah, Daniel, and others, foretold the coming of a Savior or Messiah. Jesus said in the Gospels that he had come to save mankind from their sins. Yeah, it's sad. You can talk about Muhammad, but you cannot get the truth about Jesus in the American public school. And then in summary, they make these statements. The quote suggests that Jesus is a mere teacher when the Bible says he is divine. And the second one, Jesus taught that salvation through the acceptance of him as Lord and Savior, not that the Jewish law was unimportant. You know, I wish that every Christian and every pastor of a church had the courage to go to the school and demand to see these books, demand that these things be changed. If every person who says they're a Christian would stand up for Jesus on these issues, Usama, it would change this country. But sadly, I don't think they'll do it. I don't think they will. They don't even want to know about Islam. They don't even want to know about Jesus, I guess. It's sad.
That's almost true. We're going to have this soft message of comfort and riches and healing and the prosperity and healing, and we just let's pretend that we don't even have problems in our families, in our homes, in our marriages, in our financial. Let's just have this comfortable message which make everybody feel good for a good 10-15 minute message, and we'll see you next Sunday. Come back next Sunday. Anyway, go ahead, Chris, get our caller here if you don't mind.
Okay, and we actually have three callers, which I believe one of them is Brother James, but we're going to go to caller with the four numbers at the end of your phone is 3696, and then we'll go to our other callers. 3696, you're on the air. If you have a question or comment, go ahead. You're on the air now.
Good evening, this wonderful God-given evening, Christiane Usama. Thank you so much for your program. It's a true blessing. I just want to remind you that, you know, we're not just dealing with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers from and dark forces from faraway places. And they're going to be presenting themselves from here on out because we are the fig tree generation. And we are the last generation. And we will see all prophecy come to pass in this generation.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, let's go back to the reality is the bloodlines that we do have on this planet. And remember that Rebecca wept when her child married into Ishmael's family. If the son therefore sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. Mm. I speak that which I've seen from my father, and you do that which you've seen from your father. And he answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of him, but you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. And they said to him, be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and come from God. Neither came I of myself, but from him that sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? And even because you can't hear my words? No. You are from your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. So
Amen.
There is no truth in Satan's lies. He commits sins. He was a sinner from the beginning, and the purpose of his sin was to betray God and all that was manifested by him. And this world is created, and the works of the devil will be manifested in it until the return of Jesus Christ. So
well,
we
sister,
need to...
Amen.
It's a day where we need to get together and support financially and spiritually people just like you guys and all of your friends, which are going out and speaking the truth, because we're living on borrowed time. We know what's going on in Syria. We know what went on in Benghazi. We know all about the drones. We know all about the street lights, which are observing us, listening to us. We know about fusion centers, and we know about how FEMA is getting ready for a civil war that we don't want, but they do.
Hmm. Yeah.
So keep spreading the truth. And I know you have other callers, but I'm keeping you in prayer, and I'm hoping all your listeners do too, because Satan's realms are, as it speaks in Revelation 9:11, when the keys get tossed down in there and he's released, we're going to be fighting those Ephesians 6 principalities, and they're strong ones. So God bless you and Christy.
Yes.
Thank you so much for what you do on Blog Talk Radio, and thank you, Blog Talk Radio, for giving us this forum, this day, and free speech to go out into the world and speak the true word of God, not manifested by some tares that want to change the word of God and turn it into reprobate minds that go out speaking of truths that are upside down lies.
Yeah.
So God bless you both, and love to tune in, love your program, and God bless you, and I hope to hear from you guys every single week forever.
Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you guys tonight. Bye-bye.
And when you remind me, when you said care, our video, hate speech or direct quotation, hate speech or direct quotation, that is a 2.5 hour, I believe, video. It's available right now on YouTube. You can watch it. And soon we're going to have a link on our website. I don't know if we have done it or not yet, but if you go to YouTube, you some away, and Christy, you have some links to it on Facebook as well, I believe, or not yet?
I haven't put it on there, but I will put it on your Facebook page, and I'll post it on mine as well.
Awesome.
So we'll get it for you.
Anywhere on any of my groups that I have available. And if I could give just a short plug for my dear friend Zen Garcia, who released his book today, is available in bookstores, which is called Sons of God, Who We Are and Why We Are Here. Awesome book and very insightful. So with that, I'll say good night. God bless you guys, and I'll see you next week.
Okay, thank you for all
bye-bye.
Your support, sister. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye. So if you have not watched our video, which is actually it's called The Infiltration of Islam in America, The Infiltration of Islam in America, CARE accused me of teaching hate, and they put this video on YouTube, and then they removed the video from YouTube, and they lie, and they said that YouTube removed the video because it has hate speech. That is a lie from the bottom of hell. Because our video has been there now for, I don't know, a couple of weeks now, Christy, or so, and have not been removed. And I dare YouTube to remove it, because we still have in America freedom of speech, especially when you teach the truth. For the truth is never hate. And I said the title we have for our video, it is not hate speech. It is direct quotation. Is it hate speech or direct quotation? So, because what Muslim accused me of for teaching hate, it was literally the words of Allah in the Quran, the words of Muhammad in the Hadith, the words of Muslim scholars. When you quote their own people, their own Allah, Satan, their own Muhammad, their own scholars, that does not make you teach hate, because those who said this hate speech are the one who teach hate. We're just reporting to you the truth about Islam, an infiltration of Islam in America. Very important presentation. Please watch it on YouTube and send it to all your friends. We just put it there. We have not really announced anything. So you need to get into it, watch it, share it, send the links to your friends, because I need to put the number in the highest as I can before July. In July, I'll be back again in Ohio, and I know that the Muslim care will show up. And there, I hope and I pray, I'll stand up before them and I tell them, you are a liar, like Jesus told the Jews who rejected him. I will tell the Muslim, you are your son, you are the sons of your father, who is the father of all liars. And your Muhammad taught you to lie. You know, it's amazing. Can you listen to Muhammad's word about lying? And you tell me Muslim cannot lie. Muhammad said it is lawful for a Muslim man to lie in three cases. To their wives, that their wife may be pleased with them.
to their enemy because war is deception. And to make peace between their friends. That means what, Christy? You like your wife, that's the closest family you can get. You like your enemy, and you like your friend. Anybody else? I mean, that's covered all. So I don't know. I totally believe if Muhammad thought that your dogs or your cat understand if you like them or not, he will add to the hadith, he will say it is lawful to lie in five cases. To your wife, your enemy, your friends, and to your dogs, and to your cats. But since dogs and cats do not understand if you're lying or not, therefore, that's why Muhammad did not add this to, you know, group to lie to. Anyway, we have another caller, Christy, or
yes,
what have you?
Yes, we do. And we are going to go now to the phone number, which ends in 7995. 7995, we're bringing you on the air live. If you have a question or comment, please go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I have a question.
Yes, sir. Can I ask your name real quick?
Oh, yes, yes. This is, my name is Bashir Hawk from Bronx, New York. And,
okay.
Yeah, so I have a question. I have two questions, and I actually have four questions, but I want to ask two. The other two will be follow-ups, but they're very simple and very short. And the question is that, to the Egyptian brother, is one, what do the Christians call, you know, the Creator, and what do they call the man that we know as Jesus, the Messiah? What language are they using, and can you tell us what they call him?
I'm sorry, what do you call Jesus in the Arabic language? Are you talking about that?
Yes, and the God, the Creator. What do the Christians, the non-Muslims, I'm saying the non-Muslims in Arab nations, what do they call the Creator, and what do they call Jesus in their language?
Sure, in the Arabic language you're talking about?
Yes. That's what he said in Arabic.
Well, the name Jesus in the Arabic language is Yeshua, which is the Hebrew Yeshua. The sin and the sheen are two letters we use in the opposite of the two languages, the Hebrew and Greek, and the Hebrew and Arabic. So whenever you see a Hebrew word has the sound sheen, the Arabic is ayin. So Yeshua in Hebrew is Yeshua in Arabic. And the name Yeshua means Savior. So the scripture said, and you shall name him Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sin. So that is the name Yeshua. And by the way, Muhammad in the Quran, after 600 years, Christian Arab used the word Yeshua. Muhammad put it in the Quran, Isa, which is non-Arabic word without meaning. So that itself is a big boo-boo in the Quran, a word without meaning. It's not an Arabic word. Isa is not the name Yeshua or Yeshua. It's not even an Arabic word. Now, for the word God, when they translated the Quran, when they translated the Bible from the Hebrew language to the Arabic language, they use the word Allah, which is a wrong translation. Why is that? Because if you go, for example, first time the word Elohim is mentioned in Genesis, it's Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is a Hebrew word, which is a plural. So if you want to translate it to Arabic, you should say Al-Aliha. في البدء خلق الآلهة السماء والأرض. السماوات والأرض. Plural, heavens, and one earth. One singular earth. So if you translate this verse correctly from the Hebrew language to the Arabic language, it should say, in the beginning, the gods create the heavens and the earth. But since we got the wonderful Muslim got involved, the Mufti of Egypt and the Imams of Egypt, they work on this project, they translated Allah. And Allah is a singular name. It's not plural name. So now Muslims say, wait a minute, see, you use the word Allah in Arabic in the Bible, and we Muslims use the word Allah in the Quran, in Arabic language in the Quran, therefore we worship the same God. No, I'm sorry, we don't. Why?
Let me finish my answer. You already answered it. You said that the earth say Allah, And then they say Isa when they're referring to the Creator or Jesus. Now, my other question, I didn't ask about the ideology of it. I just wanted to know what those people called the man we know as Jesus and the man we know as Allah or the God, so on and so forth. But here's my follow-up questions, and, I'll just listen.
Sure.
My follow-up question is if they are using the name Allah, and then you said, well, actually in Hebrew, it is this. It is not that in the Arabic. But then you go and take that, and then you go into another language, and you start saying God, and you start saying Jesus. So the question is the name of the Creator linguistically correct in English, Hebrew, or Arabic? Which one is linguistically correct, and which one of those things will allow us to understand who this person really was? Which language should we go with?
That's good. A very good question, brother. As of course, the real name is not the Arabic, it's not the French, it's not the English. It is the Hebrew. Because that is how God spoke to Moses. God did not speak to the Christian Arab. God did not speak to the English Christian people who speak English or those who speak French. But when God spoke to Moses and Moses said, what's your name? He said, my name is Ahya, which is Ahya. So the word God itself is a title, like Mr., like Mrs., like teacher. It's just is a title. But the real name of God is Ahia. Yahweh, if you want to say it, that's how you want to say it in the Hebrew language. But when we say Allah, and I'll try to finish this before you come up with your second question. When we say Allah in the Bible, even in the Arabic Bible, not one Christian of all the Arab Christians believe that we worship the same God of Muhammad. It's very simple. Not one Christian Arab believes that the God of the Bible is the same the God of Muhammad, even though both of them have the word Allah written in both texts. What do I mean by that? It's very simple. We Christians believe in God, a triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In Genesis 1, as I was reading with you a minute ago, I said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Elohim is plural. It's not a singular. And then you go to verse 2, and you see the Spirit of God in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the face of the earth. And then you go to verse 3, and God said, and verse 9, and God said, and verse 12, and verse 16, and verse 18, and 24. God's spoken word brought everything in this universe to existence. The heavens, and the earth, the stars, the sun, and the moon, and all the creature, all the animals, all the trees, all the plants, all those in the water, and those on earth, all these creatures, all the creation came to exist by the spoken word of God. And that's why when you go in the book of John, chapter 1, you see what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here is the God of the Christian faith. God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Word. And this God, the Word, became flesh. For in Genesis, we see He is the Creator of everything. We can go to John chapter 1, verse 3. Without He is the Creator of all things, and without Him there was nothing from all what was created. John 1:14 said what? And the Word became flesh, and we have seen His glory, full of grace and truth.
Can I ask my last question?
Sure, brother. But I need to finish my answer first before you ask another question, if you don't mind. Okay? So, this is the God of the Christian faith. It's a triune God. Muslims do not believe in triune God. Muslims believe in Allah, which we Christians believe to be Satan. How do we know that? Chapter 1 in the Quran, verse 1. Muslims say what? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the world. The Lord of the world, or the God of the world, is all over the Quran. If you search for the word, the God of the world, or the Lord of the world, it's all over the Quran. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, we know from the Bible, and many other places in the Bible, that the God of this world, the Lord of this world, is Satan. Allah is known in the Quran, chapter 3, verse 54, and chapter 8, verse 30, to be the best deceiver.
Well, in the Bible, so the only one we know to be the best deceiver is Satan. For Allah in the Quran said what? هُمْ مَكَرُوا وَاللَّهُ مَكَرُوا وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ مَكْرِينَ. They deceive and Allah deceive, but Allah is the best deceiver. And you go on the Quran and you see, for example, chapter 35, verse 8, that Allah leads people astray. Well, in my Bible, the only one who leads people astray is Satan. Allah in the Quran desired to fill hell with people before even creation began. From when the day Satan sinned and refused to worship Adam, as Allah says in the Quran, Allah said, what? Sure, I will follow you among them from fill you in hell.
Real quick, brother.
Get out of this. Allah, God of Muhammad, is Satan. But Allah, the God of the Bible, is a triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All right? I hope this will answer your question. What is your next question, my friend?
Hey, brother. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. What's your next question?
Yeah. I just got a very short statement, you know, because I asked you for a linguistic answer rather than doctrine and ideology because, you know, we could go back and forth all night, you know. So you answered the questions already, but, you know, you add the doctrine, and that seems like that's a little deceptive. You know, you're trying to, I don't know. But here's my question, though. If the Hebrew, and you're the specialist right now, the Hebrew, you said God meant this. And Jesus, for Jesus' name, you said in the Hebrew, God says this. But in America, people don't generally refer to Jesus or God in those using that language. So my question is, should they use the original text, which is the Hebrew, or should they be allowed to express in a different language the name and the representation for the Creator and this man, Jesus, in particular?
All right. You know what? I know so many Christians in America, they call them Messianic Jew, and they will never say the word Jesus, but they say Yeshua. Because that is the name they know. That's the name they know how to pronounce. If somebody say Jesus, G-E-S-U-S, and they know by it to be the Word of God who became flesh, why not? Maybe if you go to Spanish, they call him Jesus. If you go to Arabic, they call him Yeshua. If you go to French or some other language, it will be pronounced different. That's how people come up with the name for Jesus. But what do you mean by whatever name you want to say for Jesus? We Christian Arab, we say Yeshua, and we mean by him the Savior, the one who died to save us from our sin, because that's what the word meant to us. Now, what do you mean people, they use the name Jesus in America? I know some people, when I was in construction, they only use the word Jesus when they hit their finger with a hammer, or when they cuss. You know, that is the Jesus to them. So it doesn't make a difference what language you want to use. You can use the Hebrew. If you speak Hebrew, wonderful. You enjoy the Bible reading the Old Testament Hebrew, and you enjoy the Bible reading the New Testament in Greek. But if you don't know Hebrew or Greek, Jesus will work perfectly, and God will work perfectly for both Old Testament and New Testament. You want to say Yahweh? That's fine. You see here is this your how much do you know about the Hebrew? I don't like to talk to people, and they know nothing about the Arabic language, and they are American Muslim, and they never read the Quran, and if they will read it, they will not understand it. Like when I read it in Arabic, I don't understand it in Arabic. When I read the interpretation of the Quran by a Muslim scholar, you go in a bigger kiosk. But these Muslim Americans, they always say Allah, and then they say Muhammad. And every time they say Muhammad, they say, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you ask the American Muslim, what's the
I know some Arabic, brother. I know some Arabic.
Knowing some words does not give you the right to act like you're a scholar of the language. I know some Greek.
Who said I'm a scholar? Are you a scholar of the language? Are you a scholar of the language?
What language?
Arabic. You talk about Arabic. Are you a scholar of the Arabic language?
I was born in it. This is my mother tongue language.
No. I'm a born American. It don't make me a scholar of English. Now I'm asking you, are you a scholar accepted where you was born at and raised at? Are you accepted amongst those people as a scholar of Arabic?
Well, let me put it this way to you. There's American people who finish college and they cannot read English. I can read my Arabic Bible from Genesis to Revelation when I was literally 8-9 years old. So
hold
I
on.
Know the Arabic language.
No, that doesn't mean you're a scholar. But what I'm asking you, where you grew up at, do they consider you a scholar of Arabic? Yes or no? It's a simple question.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
We need I don't believe you. You need more people. But anyway.
Well, he has a lot of other scholars.
What's your point? I know some Arabic. What's your point?
What's the point? Knowing few words in Arabic does not make you just drag this.
How do you know what my level of Arabic is, brother? How do you know what my level of Arabic is, brother?
And how is your level in Arabic?
How do you know? You was just going in on me because you like, oh, American, Muslims, and blah, 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 insinuating me. But how do you know this whole time my level of understanding of Islam, Arabic? You don't even know who I am, brother. So,
how are you going in on me like that? Excuse me. Because of the nature of your question, it tells us that you really are not familiar with the language.
I asked him a question about the language. That don't mean I'm not familiar with the language.
So you asked a question that you already know the answer to.
Come on, that's unintelligent. I asked him a linguistic question. And that don't mean I know or don't know. I asked him a question. How is a question a problem?
Okay.
Because usually people ask a question when they don't know.
Christy, let's put them all for a minute.
That's not true.
Okay. Now you're on hold. So if you're trying to talk, nobody's listening to you. You may be talking to yourself. I put you on hold to calm down. You know how many years I've been doing this ministry? For at least 20 years. When a black man come to my radio program or when I meet with somebody without even if you talk to me on the phone, I will know from the first two sentences you start talking to me if you are black or white. I will know if you are a Muslim or non-Muslim. I will know if you're a nation of Islam, which is a cult from within Islam, or if you are following the true cult of Islam, the Islam of the Middle East. So I have enough experience to know who is my audience just by the first two sentences come out of your mouth. Okay? The question you ask, the linguistic you're talking about. Right now you're still on hold. So if you're talking, nobody's listening to you. But here's the reality. Muslim in America are more ignorant than any Muslim in planet Earth. Why do I say that? It's very simple. Because Muslims in the Middle East, they grew up to be Muslim and they have no choice but to be Muslims. Just last week, I was in Orlando area, or 2 weeks ago, I was in Orlando area, and I met with a Moroccan Muslim. And I asked him the question, how did you become a Muslim? He said, well, my father was a Muslim. I said, wonderful. How did your father become a Muslim? He said, well, his father is a Muslim. I said, that's great. How did your grandfather become a Muslim? He said, well, I don't know. My grandfather died before I was born. So I never really know who is my grandfather. And I said, how is your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather became a Muslim? And our friend left the room, by the way. But that's fine. He maybe come back to listen to the rest of my talk later.
Yes.
He said, well, I think by the sword. I said, oh, so you know how Islam came to Morocco? And I was shocked, Christy. I mean, literally, I was shocked that this man knew it, and he said it with a smile in his face because he was embarrassed of himself. So how the Moroccan became Muslim? Somebody, 1,400 years ago, some of the Muslim wonderful believers of Muhammad went the armies and went all the way from Egypt all the way to Morocco to cross to Spain. And all they did is this, Christy. They killed the males and they raped the females and all these Muslim countries. No kidding. Egypt, Libya, Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco, Mauritania, and Mali. All these countries. All the countries were the 57 Muslim countries. All these Muslim men, all these Muslim families, they're the children of rape. Somebody kills their great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather and his son, his oldest son, and they raped his great-great-great-great-grandmother and her daughters. And that's how this Muslim world exists today. They are the children of rape, and that's reality. And they have no choice. They were born into it, and they can't get out of it. Why?
Yeah.
Because if you go to Quran chapter 6, verse 151, Allah said, do not kill the soul which Allah forbid, except for a just cause. Muslim cannot kill Muslim. Muslim soul is forbidden to be killed. But they can kill you in three cases. That is committing murder. That's killing another Muslim. You kill a Muslim, you're dead. Now, or those who commit adultery. And the third one is the sweetest one. Why? Those who apostate, leave the religion of Islam. So the Muslim world, 57 Muslim countries, are Muslim because they cannot get out of it, and somebody raped their grandmother and got her pregnant with their ancestry. That's it. Now, you come to America, and you think you're in the first world. Now, we're not second world here, a second world people, a third world, or fifth world. We are the best people of planet Earth. And amazingly, black and white jump into the hoop of Islam. Really, I met with a lawyer last week. A lawyer and his wife. He used to be some whatever. I don't want to mention they have nothing to do with Christianity, but they think they were Christian. And they become Muslims. And when I talked to the beloved wife, wonderful lady, God is my witness, the sweetest woman you can ever imagine. She said her teacher told her about Islam. And when I talked to her husband, the teacher told us about Islam. So tell me about Islam. And she said, Christy, she said, Islam is like that. Remember when this lady, she was caught in adultery? I said, yes. And they brought her before Jesus. She said, yeah. I said, yes. And Jesus said, whoever without sin, let him cast the first stone. I said, yes. And she said, and everybody left, and Jesus never ordered her to be stoned. And she was, you know, she lived. I said, yes. She sees the forgiveness and the love of the story. That is exactly Islam.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help it, Christy. I really couldn't help it because it is so ridiculous to see somebody think of Islam to be that. I said, my dear sister, Allah in the Quran commanded women who committed adultery to be stoned to death. Muhammad in the Hadith commanded this woman to be killed and to be stoned to death. So how in the world you use in the Bible to tell me that is Islam? And literally, Christy, everything she knows about Islam, it is the opposite of what in Islam. Why in the world this woman became a Muslim, I have no idea. But the reality is she believed in the Islam, which this teacher told her about Islam. I begged her so I can meet. I mean, they said, oh, if you want to talk, 2.5 hours, we didn't go anywhere. Because everything our teacher said. I tried to open the Quran, they don't want to open the Quran. I tried to read verses only, they don't want to. I tried to tell them what Muhammad said, no, they just believe their teacher. I said, and he said, her husband said, well, why don't you meet with our teacher and he will cook you? I said, wonderful. He said, he knows everything. Our teacher is so excellent. He's so humble. It's all right. I would like to meet with him. I stayed in Orlando one more day to meet with this teacher. I got a phone call from my friend. This is a lawyer, 40-some years old, who became Muslim, who knows nothing about Islam. He said, the teacher refused to meet with you. I said, wow. Why? He said, because the teacher believes that you will not listen to him. I will not listen to him? I said, does your teacher know anything about Islam? He said, yes. I said, does your teacher speak any Arabic? No. Have you read the Quran in Arabic? No. He knew nothing about the Quran, Christy Johnson. He knew nothing about Islam, and he tells them lie after lie after lie about justice in Islam, equality in Islam, men and women are equal in Islam, love in Islam, peace in Islam. And that's how this wonderful family got deceived into the lies, which sadly all American Muslims believe in it. Those who do not speak the Arabic language. So when this wonderful black brother who came to talk to us tonight, to ask me a question about Hebrew and Greek or God and Allah or Jesus, he's a Muslim who memorized few prayer in the Arabic language, few verses from the Quran in the Arabic language, and most likely it has been translated phonetically, which means he will read them in English, but they sound Arabic.
When you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it is the word written in English, and when you read them, they sound Arabic. And the sad thing is, the level of ignorance among Muslim American is beyond measure. Why? Muslim in the Middle East, they got stuck in it. They have no choice. Why in the world, male and female in this country, believe in Islam without knowing Islam? They are simply, they hate white. They hate America. They do anything they can to destroy this country, including selling their soul to the devil to spend eternity in hell with Muhammad and Allah. Go ahead, Christy.
Well, you know, and I think this is sad, Usama, because we've seen this a lot, and I know that you've spoken many times in the southern part of the country, and we know that the program that you have done called Revealing the Truth About Slavery in Islam, this is completely opposite of what they're told. They're told that Christianity teaches slavery, and that the Bible teaches slavery, but in reality, Islam, has been involved in slavery, but they don't know this. It's like they're completely ignorant to it. And the sad thing is, many many Christians are also just as ignorant.
The sad thing is, Islam is built on slavery. They killed the male and they took the wife and the daughters and the sons as slaves. So the early beginning of Islam, the foundation of Islam from Muhammad days until today is slavery. And Muslims are slaves to the lies, they're victims to the lies of Islam. Well, sadly, our friend left this black Muslim brother who most likely mentioned of Islam. I'm not sure really. I wish I can have him for in the future. If you listen to this program, my dear friend, the caller from New York, I believe your number was ended with 3696. If you ever would like to come back again, would love to have you. Come back with a serious time to learn about your Islam. We have no problem to reach out to you and teach you all what you do not know about Islam, because you're just one of millions of Muslims who know not Islam. When Muslims know Islam in the Middle East, I'm talking about those who can read Arabic, those who can write Arabic, those who are imams and Muslim scholars. I call them scholars because I learn from them. When these people have to know Islam, Christy, they left Islam and they became a Christian. At the same time, ignorant Americans who know nothing about Allah or Muhammad, they do not know that Muhammad is a child molester. 51 years old, married to 6 years old child. And if you read the Quran, chapter 65, verse 4, Allah gave Muslims the right to have sex with little children.
Yes, and Usama, we're out of time. Did you know that we're out of time? Yeah, we're out of time. But I do want to thank all of our listeners. And Usama, we're going to come back next week. We hope our callers will come back. Brother James, I'm sorry we couldn't get to you this week. And I have a special question that we are going to answer by email or phone from another one of our listeners. Thanks, everyone. God bless you all. Usama, say bye. We're heading out.
We'll see you next Saturday. Invite some of your friends. Don't come empty-handed next week. If every one of us invites one person, we can double and triple and whatever number you come up with. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night. I'll see you.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.